Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 90, Summary of Lord Krishna's Glories, Text 21 through 24. The last chapter, the 10th canto, Summary of the Glories.
Okay, so we'll do the verse 21 responsively. Please repeat. Priya Rava Padani Bhashase Mita Sanjeevi Kayanaya Gira Karavani Kim Adyate Priyam Vadami Valgita Kanta Kokila Priya Rava Padani Bhashase Mita Sanjeevi Kaya Naya Gira Karavani Kim Adyate Priyam Vadame Valgita Kanta Kokila Priya Rava Padani Bhashase Mita Sanjeevita Yanaya Gira Karavani Kim Adyate Priyam Vadami Valgita Kanta Kokila.
Thank you.
Dear. Rava.
Rava.
Of him whose sounds. Padani.
Padani.
The vibrations.
Vibrations. Bhashate.
Your uttering.
Your uttering.
Mritta.
Mritta.
The dead.
The dead.
Sanjivitaya.
Sanjivitaya.
Which brings back to life.
Which brings back to life.
Anaya. And this. Gira.
Voice.
Karavani.
I should do.
Kim. What? Adya. Today. Day. For you. Priyam. Pleasing. Vada. Please tell. May. Me. Valdita. Sweetened by these sounds. Kantha. Of you whose throat.
Of you whose
Kokila.
Kokila.
O Kuku.
O Kuku. Translation. O sweet throated Kaku. Kaku. Kuku. Kuku. Okay. In a voice that could revive the dead, you are vibrating the same sounds we once heard from our beloved, the most pleasing of speakers. Please tell me what I can do to please you. Before I read the purport, I just wanted to make one comment. This, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvasesha Sunyavadi Paschicha Desipa. Jaitam Sarito Pangor, Mamamanda Matirgati, Matsarvasva Patam Bojo, Radha Madhanamana. The Gauravani that we say, Nirvasesha Sunyavadi, that Prabhupada's preaching, the message of Lord Chaitanya, and this specifically is giving us the mercy, the qualification by sincerely following Srila Prabhupada's directions to enter into this. These points, which is very special under regulation, initiation, years of practice to get to these points. So I was just going to do three verses backwards to bring us back to this, and then I'll read the purport. I'm not going to go off too far. But in 1.1.3, there's a verse that, O thoughtful man, relishes Srimad Bhagavatam. Always relish this. So, of course, we know from the spiritual master that we say that every morning, most of us, and sometimes we lose the integration of the moment into the meditation. And I was just going to read number 5 that we're familiar with, Sri Radhikam Mayura Pada, where it says, the spiritual master is always, that's what that word means. Muhu means always. Always relishing this Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, the spiritual master is always eager to hear and chant about the unlimited conjugal pastime between Radhika and Madhava, their qualities, names, and forms. The spiritual master aspires to relish these at every moment. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So we say that every day. So that's 3. And then you go back to 2. There's a word, avarujate, which means it captures Krishna in your heart, is established within your heart. And then you go to number 1, the first verse, and sattvam param dhimahi. After you understand how the illusion works, and under your vows you've given up, being under the modes of nature, you've taken to devotional service. So this sattvam param dhimahi, this meditation. Meditation is not an activity of the mind. It's past the mind. It's an activity of the heart. So when we hear these things, this is the meditation. So it's not exactly that we just hear it and understand it. There's a different mechanism taking place here, which is this dhimahi, which sometimes the impersonals capture with thinking that we're not thinking, They have different ideas of explaining meditation. But for us, it's connecting our hearts with what's being said here, kind of an empathetic way of knowing that this is being shared with us through the acharyas. This is the perfection. This is what existence is for. And that relish is always has to two. There's Krishna appreciating. He witnesses all our thoughts. But most of the time, at least for me, it's a little embarrassing. Imagine if someone was listening to all of your thoughts and they stayed your friend. You know, how amazing that would be, right? So Krishna, he knows all of our thoughts, our intentions, the deepest, most aspects. So when we're meditating on relishing his pastimes, it's very pleasing to him. So now I'll read the purport so we can hopefully try to enter this, because this mood of separation, this is the mood that Lord Chaitanya came to teach. He wasn't dealing with the externals, do a, be a pious life, get a better birth, the heavenly planets, enjoy sense gratification. No, these things have been rejected by the will of the wisp, horse eggs. You know, ever seen a horse egg? No, there aren't any horse eggs. So the will of the wisp, this idea of enjoying, and what's the other one? Oh, impersonal liberation. What's the word for hellish? Nar. That would be horrible, horrible. Nothing worse than that. And then what happens if you give up those two? Then the whole world becomes, you want to mention? Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. Vishvam is the universe, like Vishvarupa, Purna, complete, and Sukhayate happens. All right, purport. As Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains through the song of the cuckoos is very pleasant. Lord Krishna's wise perceive it as if it was painful. It as painful because it reminds them of their beloved Krishna and exacerbates their pain of separation. Now, this pain of separation, sometimes you may have to consider, is it actual pain or is this actual ecstasy? Ecstatic pain. All right. Ecstatic pain. So, now, of course, it's mentioned about these cuckoos. It's so pleasant. Most people in the material world are suffering. That's abrahmana bhuvana lokha. Everything is set up in this way. Everything else that looks like happiness is just the worm on a hook. It just causes suffering. So every once in a while, the dunking stool comes up and you get a breath. So this sweet sound of the cuckoos is so pleasant that it wakes you up if you're in that distress. Because life is more or less means happiness. If you're not happy, are you really alive? You know, they sell it as synonymous. Live a life that's worth it. Happiness. So, all right. So now we're going to go to number 22. Are we ready? Who's ready? Case you're ready. Woohoo! One more, please.
So we can do these together. Just go
That's a good idea.
Go one after the other.
Yeah.
Nachalasi navadasi dara buddhe. No, forget it. Sorry. Shiti dara chintayase mahantamartam api bata vasudeva nandanangim payam nivakane sistanair vidartum. 23?
Okay, so now we'll do the translation because there's a lot of verses. O magnanimous mountains, you neither move nor speak. You must be pondering some matter of great importance, or do you let us do you like us desire to hold on your breasts the feet of Vasudeva's darling son? purport. Here, the word stana, or on your breast, refers to the mountain peaks. Okay, so here we have the mountains. The gopis, or the queens, those that are in love with Krishna, everything they see it a particular way. How you see things is another definition of philosophy. It's kind of like you can reverse engineer it. Sometimes they say philosophy is love of truth, what you hold to be true. And there's six darshans. Connection, darshan, see, seeing what you see. So in this, this is what they're seeing. If you look and see what you're seeing, as soon as you say what you're seeing, they could explain to you your philosophy, what you're, how you're actually thinking, what you believe, what you hold to be dear in your heart, because what you see is an expansion of your desire or your conditioning. So in here, if we think back through Bhagavatam, in the second canto, first step in God realization, when they saw a mountain, what were you to see? You're supposed to remember Krishna. We're following sadhana bhakti. Always remember Krishna. So you have to make connections. So everything you see can act in a way that it's going to remind you of Krishna. So we redefine everything with new definitions that includes Krishna. Where the atheists, they redefine everything and take Krishna out of it. So first step of God realization, they're the bones. The bones of the universal form are the mountains. The oceans are his ways. So there's all these ways that one remembers Krishna. And in the 11th canto, the mountains are also there as one of the 24 gurus, a little bit of jnana. So in jnana, there's a strong sense of detachment. So it's pre-liberation. That you're seeing things, that they're steady, they're always providing service to others. Of all the hills, what's the best hill? It's Govardhan Hill, because mountains always provide the minerals, they provide so much service. So we see from the mountains, the 24 gurus, that we should always be assisting and helping in others, and that's the greatness of the mountains. And how about, there's a couple of us here that grew up in America. We used to have songs that we'd sing when we were in school, especially us older folks. There was right after the Second World War, where the whole world was almost taken over by a despot, a dictator. They sang America the Beautiful because there was, we'd say, pledge the flag, one nation under God, still some piety there. And so in the song America the Beautiful, it says, purple mountains majesty. From sea to shining sea. They would talk about how, what a wonderful gift that God has given us with these mountains that, if, especially if you're driving along, you see they look like kind of purple. They're set up one after another. So there's different ones. Now, how about the gopis? They're not just liberated. They're at the top stage of Madhurya Leela, and when they see it, they're Atmavan Manyate Jagat, they're thinking, when Krishna, you would touch Krishna, and his feet are so soft, they'd be meditating on Krishna's feet. Imagine how soft Krishna is. Why wouldn't he be? He's so soft. So what part would they want there? His feet, where's a soft spot? Where are you going to find a soft spot? So the gopis, they think, well, even our breasts are too hard for Krishna's feet. And they're thinking like that. So when they see the mountains, big, strong, heavy-duty mountain, what do they think of? They say, oh, the mountains wanted to touch Krishna's feet too. With his footprints, he'd be walking on them. And then they go back into their deep, deep meditation. So there's a word in the nectar devotion. Remember the word? Udipan. Udipana. Anybody know the word? Is that a familiar word? Most people's vocabulary? Huh? Impetus. Okay. Oh, thank you so much, Manamati. Do you know that too? Close. That's very close. Okay. You don't mind me explaining a little bit more? Okay. Generally, where does lights come from? In most of the time, of course, now it's a little bit peculiar because we have electric lights. But before lights were electric, what were they? You burnt them. Lamps. So the lamp, the light, it came from a fire. And in this particular combination, Udipan, it's talking about the heart. What inflames the heart? See, so it's got light, but light doesn't exactly manifest the full feeling of this verse. So it's that which inflames your heart. And, of course, in the material world, we think lust burns like fire. Okay, so that fire, that's the dipa, that's the lamp, but it's a perverted reflection. Like when we were growing up, they had Motown songs like that, Burning in a Heat Wave, My New Flame. These things are all, even there in the material world, it's very painful to be under that fire of lusty desire. And Bhagavad Gita mentions burns like fire. So, but this is the other side. This is where it's reflected from, the Kama Devaya Vimehi, that we should understand this, then we can feel what it is that when you see something and it reminds you, as we said here, Madhurya Lila Guna Rupa Namna, it reminds you of Krishna's qualities, like Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima, 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 the glories. It's a glorious day, it's a glorious feeling, it's good. These things have been taken by the materialists, but we shouldn't forget their origin of what this glorious feeling is. This is that understanding the divine nature of the exchanges that go on in the spiritual world. And by Prabhupada's unlimited causeless mercy, grouped with Lord Chaitanya, Krishna wanting to understand the qualities of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities that she experienced, the happiness she feels, because it says that Krishna enjoys, but he says Radharani enjoys millions of times more. Millions of times more. So in that mood, he's come, changed all the rules. Lord Nityananda picked up on that. He went out, got Jagai Madhai. Prabhupada came to America. If Jagai Madhai is pleasing to Krishna's Lord Chaitanya, he knows where he can find plenty of them. Came to America under that mercy and is giving it to us. This is what we're in line for. And to avoid Niyamagraha, we have to remember this. And it's not always so easy because the conditioned mind has other things to think about for you. You have other places to put your attention. But just like we say, japa, I rephrase things so I can remember them. Japa means Krishna saying, let's spend some quality time together. So when we do our japa, we're spending some quality time. Now, we know what that means by the way that it's used colloquially as now, is that this time is for you. And you, it's a heart time. It's time that we're spending together. And just like this separation, Krishna says, do you miss me yet? Yeah. If someone goes away and they're gone for a while and they come back and nobody says anything to them, how's that feel? You know, it's like, you didn't miss me? Yeah, well, I miss this or I miss that, missed your cooking, you know, all right, that's one point, but that, you know, it's like an aspect, you know, but we miss being with Krishna. You miss me. So that's this Vipalamba Seva. Because suppose, just think for a moment, this is authorized, the Sattva Param Dhimahi, is you've decided, like root meaning. Yeah, she decided that Krishna, that's who she wants to be with. I gave my heart to Krishna. I mean, and then once you do that, anything else that gets introduced by your mind, you can't compare apples and oranges, you know. There's no comparison. So that aspect, this is what we're learning about, Krishna's qualities, names, and forms. And this is to charm us out of our conditioned existence. We say it every morning at about 7:21. What's the thing? Kandarpa Koti. That his unique loveliness is charming. Okay, so this is, we're getting an insight, because we have to consider, we only got about another 20 verses, 25 verses, and we're out of the 10th canto. And then the 10th, then after that, is the 11th canto. It starts off with the curse upon the Yadu dynasty. So we're changing gears a little bit. So this part is put there at a specific spot, and we're just about the end. And now we're at the summary of Lord Krishna's glories. So this is the glories of Krishna. It's not something else. So the idea is to make a special effort to try to relish it, try to get past the blockages in the mind that keep us from entering deeply enough. Can we trust Krishna? Should I really give him my heart? You know, all these different things. What about? And the philosophy up to now is supposed to have enabled us to do that if we followed as strictly as we can and repented when we couldn't. Of course, pent means a penit, a confinement, a pen, like a playpen. So, of course, that pen is our sambandha gyan. We see everything. There's a nice verse. One should see this material cosmic manifestation with the same mentality that Krishna does. So that's our sambandha. And then we move in that sambandha. And as we move in that sambandha, things change in our heart. That's the abhideya as we're moving towards the prayojana. So these are prayojana parts. So we better go on because of the time element. We're going to do 23 now. And maybe we could do it all together. Is that what you'd like, Keshava? So, which tune are you going to chant? Brahma Samhita tune.
All together. Shushya Mrada Karshita Bhatta Sindhu Patnya Sampratya Pasta Kamala Shriya Ishta Bhartu Yadvadvayam Madhipate Panayavalokam
Which translates as, O rivers, wives of the ocean, your pools have now dried up. Alas, you have shriveled to nothing, and your wealth of lotuses has vanished. Are you then like us, who are withered away because of not receiving the affectionate glance of our dear husband, the Lord of Madhu, who has cheated our hearts? Purport. During the summer, the rivers do not receive downpours of water provided by their husband, the ocean, via the clouds. All right, so we got that, how the oceans, like a spiritual master receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy. And just like Ganaganatvam, the quality of a cloud, he goes and puts, so we have that too. It's interesting to note how our minds make these associations. We think by association, like a dictionary. The only way it defines one word is by other words. So the only way we understand one thing is by other things. So everything we have to reconnect to Krishna. And of course, yoga means connection. So we make that connection through bhakti, which is ultimately through the heart. So, and that's where ultimately we want to turn jnana into udipan. We want to turn our smarnam into stimulate everything that stimulates remembering Krishna, and then you made it. Okay. But the real reason for the rivers, what's that one? Emaciation, as the queens see it, is that they have failed to obtain the loving glance of Sri Krishna, the reservoir of all happiness. I think it was Gorkhasur Das Babaji. He would go into the water and chant his rounds sometimes. And unless Krishna appeared to him in his japa, he would drown himself. Since he didn't drown himself, we understood. So Krishna is under the control of our, not specifically ours, but if we had some, it would be of the love of his devotees. So Krishna, he's never away from us. Vayogo mena. There isn't any place that exists that Krishna isn't there. How could it be? Where would it have come from? How would it manifest? So everything is Krishna, and Krishna has three features, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. According to how you're approaching Krishna, he reciprocates with you. So if you want to understand that there's one potency that pervades everything, you can understand Krishna is Brahman. But then, excuse me, you say, isn't there a purpose? I mean, is it just random? Everything's random. I remember when I was a young fellow, I used to think once in a while then too, and I noticed there weren't any coincidences. You know, if you watch, you can say, what a coincidence. You know, and of course, materialists, they use that insurance company, accident. There's no accident. Everything is strictly controlled by God. So there's no coincidences. So I started noticing different things, and I said, there's a purpose. Things are structured a certain way, and everything is happening a certain way for a certain purpose. What's the purpose? Ah, tato brahma jignas. Kind of put the ah together. Atato Brahma Jignas. So if you want to know why there's no coincidences, you have to know what the purpose is. Being a mechanically minded person, everything is designed to work a certain way, and how can you fix it if you don't know what it's supposed to do? You're supposed to know what it's supposed to do. Then you can fix it, right? So I started asking people, but not many people think the same way I do. We're all a little different, especially when you become a devotee. Your individuality comes out. You can say, they're just like snowflakes. Everyone's unique. And if you appreciate, like if you looked at one snowflake and you said, this isn't like the other snowflake, that what would be the sense of that? Is there a normal snowflake? So each one is appreciated for its own quality. So that's one... Nirmatsaranam satam. A devotee, he's non-envious because he's non-judgmental. You can't judge means you're put there's a standard and you're so far from what the standard is. So you get a particular grade or you get judged that you're not like this other one. You're different from this other one. And I like the other one, so this one's no good. So the idea is that if you recognize everyone is unique, especially that's how the super soul is giving each individual a direction. He follows his direction, the wanderings of all living entities. So then there's the Paramatma. But then when the Bhagavan realization is that Krishna, the saint, Prabhupada said, pure love of God is intrinsically integrated into everything. It's there. Just like last time I mentioned all the different vibrations that are in this room. You got your TV, the terrestrial TV signals, you got your cell phones, you got your radio signals, all these things are in the air. You can't see any of them, but you have a particular receiver. So if you tune your heart, that's the tuning mechanism. It's a crystal. In the old days, they used to have crystal radios because crystals vibrate, and you could adjust the crystal to pick up a certain frequency. And then you'd hook up a very simple amplifier and you could have a homemade radio. So these were when everybody was technically oriented in about the late 50s, used to buy these things at the Radio Shack, and you'd put them together, and you'd make yourself your homemade radio, and you really felt accomplished. You'd pick up nothing to listen to, but you could make something that helped you understand this principle of all these vibrations. So pure love of God is intrinsically integrated. Everything. All you have to do is know how to tune your crystal of your heart to pick up the Shuddhasattva channel. And Krishna, he'll help you. In fact, we're all working on it right now. So I got one more verse here. That, and this one has a long purport. So let's read 24 together, please.
Okay, so we'll do the seven Goswamis.
Oh, the six Goswamis this time. All right.
Hamsa swagatam ashyutam pibhapavo bruhyanga saure katham dutam tvam nuvidam tachirajita swasyasta uktam pura kimvanas chala saurida smarati tam tasmadhajamo vayam Shaudralapaya kamadam shriyam vite saivaika nishtashtriyam Vandhi rupa sanatana raghu yugau Shri jiva gopalako.
Welcome, swan. Please sit here and drink some milk. We all know about swans drinking milk, the Paramahansa. Give us some news of the descendant of Sora, dear one. We know you are his messenger. Is that invincible Lord doing well? And does that unreliable friend of ours still remember the words he spoke to us long ago? Why should we go and worship him? O servant of a pretty master, petty master, thank you. Go tell him who fulfills our desires to come here without the gods of fortune. Is she the only woman exclusively devoted to him? So this has got a lot of different stuff in it, doesn't it? You can see that they're uninhibited in explaining the nature of what they're feeling and gets to share with us through an incredible specific succession. And how many people before this book actually came to us today to hear this? All of them, saintly people. What a chain. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur relates the following conversation between the queen and the swan. So now we get the room conversation of what's actually going on in between this whole conversation. Okay, you're reading ahead. All right, I'll go. The queens ask, is the unconquerable Lord doing well? The swan replies, how can Lord Krishna be doing well without you? Oh, his beloved consorts. So we can see the swan, he knows what to say, right? He's an expert. He said, how could he be doing well without you? All right. But does he even remember what he once told us, Srimati Radharani? Rukmini? Okay, sorry. Does he recall what he said? In all my palaces, I see no other wife as dear as you. That's from the Bhagavatam 10:60-55, which Keshava could read to us.
Natva drishim pranayinim vihinim viheshu pasyami.
Probably had more expression, though, when she said it, you know. In all my places, I see no other wife. Oh, it's Krishna speaking, as dear as you. So it's only you that I see everywhere, right? He's also expert. He does indeed remember this, and that is just why he sent me here. Ah, so excellent. You should all go to him and engage in his devotional service. Okay, so now what are they going to respond back to that? So he's representing Krishna, but they're representing themselves, and they're not about to say, oh, is that what he said? They're continuing with their line of thinking without even seemingly responding to his response. Okay. So Swan said, go there. So they said, why should we go worship him? If he refuses to come here to be with us. Woo-hoo. So that's a comeback. All right. So now we have this expert Swan trained in the art of pacification. And what's he going to say this time? Just listen, O servant of a petty master. Oh, thank you. Please, my dear ocean of compassion, he is suffering so much from your absence. How can he be saved from this distress? Okay, so he's sticking to his argument. Okay. Just listen, O servant of a petty master. Tell him to come here as he should. If he is suffering from lusty desires, he has only himself to blame, since he himself is the creator of Cupid's power. We, self-respecting ladies, are not going to yield to his demand that we go seek him out. So they're sticking to their arguments, because you have to also remember in the verse it says, come without the goddess of fortune. Right? And then they say that goddess of fortune, you think she's the only one that has a thing for you, is this goddess of fortune? What about us? We don't want to see her with the goddess of fortune. She changes everything. Come without her. So it goes on. So be it. Then I will take my leave. No. 1 minute, dear Swan. So he thought he was going to get out that easy. And they're not finished with him yet. So they say, no, 1 minute, dear Swan. Ask him to come to us here without the goddess of fortune, who always cheats us by keeping him all to herself. So you have to kind of like get into the mood here and enter into it. And that's the idea of this dhimahi, is try to get a little bit past just understanding it. And get a feel for we've all had experiences in life, and that those experiences are perverted reflections. However, the utilization of why we had them is this. People don't know, they just think it's a source of misery, this material world. But these, it's especially with relationships, they are really got some, let's see, as the pendulum swings, they have a big range. You never get the range of happiness and distress as you do with relations. So that's why people try to keep an even keel. They hardly get into relations. But for the most of us, we've been through the ringer of material existence. So the utilization of those emotions are only for this meditation. So then they have a positive value. In numbers, they have a positive and negative numbers. We all learned about that. However, there's another idea in mathematics called the absolute values of numbers, where you don't consider the sign. It's just how far they are from zero. So for us, we're moving into the absolute realm. So the positive and negative, they're not... Their only utilization is in the absolute connection with Krishna through these. So if you can learn this simple, not so simple, in one sense it's simple, art, then you come to, and when you offer prayers, you're on the Brahman platform, the spiritual platform. And then you can experience these things which are from the soul, not from the mind or the intelligence. And that's what it's about. All right, I better go on. Don't you know that the goddess Lakshmi is devoted exclusively to the Lord? How could he give her up like that? Okay, asking advice from this group, what do you think they're going to get for an answer? You're asking them their opinion. All right, here's how. And is she the only woman in the world who is completely sold out to him? What about us? Okay. Oh, that was the end. So, all right. That's the class. I think uncovered it or covered it, however you want to look at it. Hopefully that was something that we can all understand, because this 10th canto, we're in it now, and this is what it's for. So try to spend a moment of that quality time, reflect on this, try to recognize, because that's what it's actually for. These emotions, these are real emotions. The emotions are not to be given up. They just have to be qualified to which ones, what is favorable and what's unfavorable. And those are our regulator principles, and that's our sadhana. And as years go by, the modes, they give us a little bit of a break by our sadhana's mercy. We can, they act less powerfully upon us. So we'll take any, yes, question, comment? A thought. We got a reflective thought.
Yeah, because you were saying, take some time to feel into these relationships, the nuances, the little flavors of these associates of Krishna who are, and this, as I understand it, is so important. When we reach the liberated platform, which will gradually evolve naturally as we apply ourselves to our sadhana process, these flavors of the pure devotees, the way they feel in relation to Krishna, will gradually become very attractive to us. And it's when they become more and more attractive they become, the more we'll taste those things. These are the tastes of, or the substance of what love of God, we say officially love of God, but love of God has a substance. The flavors of these relationships that are being expressed as the substance of love of God, and as we become liberated, these things will begin to have taste for us.
Even before liberation, in the sense that you're referring to it.
All right.
Because all, you know, there's, when it talks about liberation in Adoshara Sadasanga verses, you know, those, that one prayer in the beginning is a preliminary desire for self-realization, which leads one to association with others. In there, nishta is called steadiness in self-realization. So self-realization isn't a threshold. It's a continuum. And it already has started. In fact, technically speaking, there's a very strong presentation that you could make that we're already self-realized, but we may not be steady in self-realization. So these experiences, Lord Chaitanya says, I'm going to give you a full taste of the nectar for which you're always anxious, even before you're qualified. This is, I call it the grace period, because I like puns. You know, this is a grace period that, by Prabhupada's mercy, they call it a shadow attachment. They get where there's a reflection. But sometimes it's played down, and sometimes it can be played up also. That, you know, we were saying it's all or nothing, it's prema or not. But this reflection, it's a real reflection. It's not a fake reflection. This is a reflection of a real substance, but it doesn't have our heart doesn't have the rooting capacity to for the steadiness. And even that steadiness that we talk about in nishta, that's only 50 to 75%. Nashta Prayesha Adbadveshu Nityam Bhagavata say this is almost to nil, because that other 25 to 50%, that's where we're making our advancement in that the prayers that come out of the contrast of material life and spiritual life. So he gives you that vision of spiritual life, but you have to still relish material life, you have to renounce it. That renouncing of material life, like Jamunacharya, what's he famous for? Spitting. Our Spitacharya. So that he's already in. Who can imagine what position he's in? And when the thought comes into the mind, maybe once and who knows how often, but the thoughts come into our mind, how we're learning, it's not accepting, rejecting, but it has a different flavor. Krishna, how could I have been so insensitive to our relationship, to get involved with the false ego in such a Oscar-winning a way, where I was really into my false ego's the best, you know, and really trying to relish every moment. So there's a type of lamentation when the mind and the senses bring up that other 25%. Yeah, so it's not gotten rid of because it's so useful. This is where we make our, where the rubber meets the road, you know, they say that. This is what we do with those thoughts when they come. It's not like, hey, that one example I gave some years ago, it's been 30 years ago, is suppose you're the driver for Srila Prabhupada. That was going on. You'd get in the car, you'd be the driver, you turn on the ignition, you drive Prabhupada. So as soon as you turn on the ignition, the radio comes on, playing some tune that you used to like from the 60s. Maybe a good rock and roll tune. Can't get any sound. Something comes on, and Prabhupada slowly turns his head over and looks at you. Now, what are you going to say? Could you say, I really like this tune, I'll turn it off just in a minute. Or you'd say, I don't know why the radio came on, I must have bumped it with my hand getting in, I didn't turn it on, you know, or there's a variety of different things that you could say. But if it would seem quite unusual if you said, I'll turn it off right after this song because this it reminds me of some old things that I like. You'd think that's highly unlikely. So Krishna, if you've acknowledged that he's in your heart listening to your thoughts, and you say, well, wait a minute, Krishna, this is the part where, you know, people say nice things about me, I want to listen to this. In fact, I'm going to turn it up a little and concentrate. You would think, that's not exactly right, is it? So Krishna, Prabhupada, is the external manifestation of the super soul. So you give an example so you can relate it to this, the subtler elements, and you could think, how would you, if Krishna was saying, this is what you want to listen to? I'm not in it at all. It doesn't have any, it's put you in my position. What about that, huh? You think, like Jimi Hendrix, he took Krishna out of the universal form and put himself in it. There's a sign right before he left his body, imagine that. All right. Anything else? Is that all right? Or you got some more? Did you have something? No? All right. Just moving your hand. We always like when you say that. All right, then. Thank you. All glories, Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.